'Tis, written and read by Frank McCourt. That's your dream out now? That's what my mother would say when we were children in Ireland and a dream we had came true. The one I had over and over was where I sailed into New York Harbor, awed by the skyscrapers before me. I'd tell my brothers, and they'd envy me for having spent a night in America, till they began to claim they'd had that dream too. I'd argue with them, tell them I was the oldest, that it was my dream, and they'd better stay out of it, or there would be trouble. They told me I had no right to that dream for myself, that anyone could dream about America, and there was nothing I could do about it. I told them I could stop them. I'd keep them awake all night, and they'd have no dreams at all. Michael was only 6, and he was laughing at the picture of me going from one of them to the other, trying to stop their dreams of the New York skyscrapers. Maliki said I could do nothing about his dreams because he was born in Brooklyn and could dream about America all night and well into the day if he liked. I told my mother it wasn't fair the way the whole family was invading my dreams, and she said, Ara, for the love of God, drink your tea and go to school, and stop tormenting us with your dreams. My brother Alfie was only 2, and he banged a spoon on the table and chanted, Tormenting dreams, tormenting dreams, till everyone laughed. And I knew I could share my dreams with him any time, so why not with Michael? Why not with Maliki? When the MS Irish Oak sailed from Cork in October 1949, we expected to be in New York City in a week. Instead, the captain was told, sail for Albany. The first officer told me Albany was a city far up the Hudson River and had all the charm of Limerick, ha ha ha, a great place to die, but not a place where you'd want to get married or rear children. He was from Dublin, and when he sneered at Limerick, I didn't know what to do. I'd like to destroy him with a smart remark, but then I'd look at myself in the mirror, pimply face, sore eyes, and bad teeth, and know I could never stand up to a first officer with a uniform and a promising future as master of his own ship. I'd say to myself, why should I care what anyone says about Limerick anyway? All I had there was misery. Then the peculiar thing would happen. I'd sit on a deck chair in the lovely October sun with the gorgeous blue Atlantic all around me and try to imagine Fifth Avenue or Central Park where everyone looked like movie stars, powerful tans, gleaming white teeth. But instead, I'd be back in the lanes of Limerick, women standing at doors chatting away, children with faces dirty from bread and jam, playing and laughing and crying to their mothers. And I'd start crying to myself on that deck chair with the gorgeous Atlantic all around me. And I'd wonder, what in God's name was wrong with me that I should be missing Limerick, city of grey miseries, the place where I dreamed of escape to New York? There were to be 14 passengers on the ship, but one cancelled, and the first night out the captain stood up at dinner and welcomed us. He laughed and said he wasn't superstitious over the number of passengers, but since there was a priest among us, wouldn't it be lovely if His Reverence would say a prayer to come between us and all harm? The priest was a plump little man, born in Ireland. But so long in his Los Angeles parish, he had no trace of an Irish accent. He sat next to me and whispered that 2 old Protestants who were at the table were very rich from raising thoroughbred horses in Kentucky, and if I had any sense, I'd be nice to them. You never know. I wanted to ask, what was the proper way to be nice to rich Protestants who raise racehorses? But I couldn't for fear the priest might think I was a fool. I knew that if I ever talked to the rich Protestants, I'd have to smile and show my destroyed teeth, and that would be the end of it. The minute I made some money in America, I'd have to rush to a dentist to have my smile mended. You could see from the magazines and the films how the smile opened doors and brought girls running. And if I didn't have the smile, I might as well go back to Limerick. I never talked to rich people in my life except to say, telegram, ma'am. And then I'd be told, go round to the servants' entrance.